Please pray with me. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel story of breakfast on the beach, we enter further into the Easter season and the work of Easter. Easter, that mind-blowing, phenomenal work of what it means to have resurrection set loose in the world, set loose in the church, set loose in our lives. One of the oddest experiences of Easter that I have felt, I find it strange, but it feels kind of empty, at least following the graphic realities of Holy Week. Broken bread, washed feet, the brutality of the crucifixion, and finally, a body laid in a newly hewn grave. Easter, by contrast, is about an absence. The body is no longer in the tomb, and we are left to wrestle with and work out what that means. Today's gospel story makes it clear that one of the functions of resurrection life is deep forgiveness and restoration of relationship. Peter announces he's going fishing, and several of the disciples decide to go along. In prior chapters in the gospel, Peter had denied Jesus and fled from the scene of the crucifixion. Though it is clear that Peter does love Jesus without reservation, his fear had led him to distance himself from Jesus, and we are left to imagine that disappointment, that guilt, that shame. It would appear that Peter has returned to what he knows, fishing. Amid the confusion and grief in the aftermath of the crucifixion, he feels most like himself aboard a fishing boat, handling the heavy nets throughout the cold night. His efforts are fruitless, though. After a night of fishing, the group has caught exactly zero fish. On top of his grief, along with his sense of having failed Jesus, Peter is now confronted with failing at something he has done all his life. But as dawn breaks, the disciples see a man on the shore and smoke rising from the distance from a small fire. The stranger calls out to them and suggests something really odd. Cast your nets on the other side of the boat. Surprisingly, the disciples comply, and suddenly, the net is full to bursting with fish. In an instant, Peter realizes that he has seen something like this before. On a hillside, with thousands of people, he watches Jesus break bread and fish until the multitudes were fed. He remembers a wedding in Cana, when water was turned into the finest of wines. The beloved disciple shouts, "It is the Lord!" So Peter clambers towards the shore, his heart bursting with excitement. In fact, it is Jesus, and Jesus invites them to come and have breakfast, as though it's just some kind of normal morning after a night of fishing. The disciples shoot looks of amazement at each other across the fire and wonder, is this really real? This story provides a bookend to the Last Supper. The first breakfast changes the trajectory for the disciples from grief and confusion to purpose and mission. Everything Jesus said to the disciples before his crucifixion and in John's gospel, and we know he said a lot, is now coming to bear on the disciples and their purpose. But first, Jesus has some very specific business to take care of with Peter. It also bears repeating that Peter, in so many of the gospel stories, is a stand-in for us. His enthusiasm, his awkwardness, his lack of understanding, and enormous love for Jesus are just like our own. So when the gospel story focuses on Peter, it is fair and right to say that we are also part of that story. Before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus told Peter that he would deny him, and sadly, his prediction comes true. Peter is accosted repeatedly by bystanders as he waits outside while Jesus is being interviewed, and each time he denies knowing Jesus. He is absent at the crucifixion, and he is among the disciples who meet behind locked doors out of fear. Now, Jesus speaks to him directly. "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus asks him three times, and three times Peter affirms his love for Jesus. Each time Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep." Peter is given the opportunity to undo his denial of Jesus with three affirmations of his love. Jesus tells him what to do with that love: feed the flock. Though the word forgiveness never appears in this story, it is nevertheless a critical theme. Peter, the impetuous, big-mouthed disciple who gave in to fear and failed to acknowledge Jesus, failed to stick around for the bitter end, is now given the opportunity to face his risen friend and begin again. This story offers some of the deepest implications and impact of resurrection life for us. Just like Peter, we too are forgiven. We are invited to start over. We are all deeply, deeply loved. And we have jobs to do. This isn't only Peter's story, this is our story. When fear holds us back, love calls us forward. When we feel trapped by the way things have always been, Jesus invites us to cast our nets on the other side of the boat and change our perspective in light of the resurrection. So what does this mean for us? How many times have we felt held back from God's abundance in resurrection life because we're struggling with guilt or shame or fear? If we understood ourselves to be completely forgiven, completely loved, and completely free, how would that change the choices we make about our work, our families, our relationships? It's an awful lot to grasp from a human perspective. But the light of the resurrection shining into us invites us to look clearly at how we make choices through love and put fear aside. The implications of this story also resonate within our, and in my best guess, most faith communities. Our choices and decisions being made in fear with mission and budget, How might we, in the light of resurrection at our lives, how might we, with the light of the resurrection at our backs, live into the abundance that God so richly welcomes us into and desires for us? If we are completely loved, completely forgiven, and completely free, what does that imply about how we as a community are to feed the flock? We are called not only to proclaim God's love known to us in Jesus, but to act on it. We are called and commissioned to embrace love as the basis, the very foundation of every action we undertake. Just like Peter, we're invited to change our perspective and cast our nets where the love of God is waiting for us. And there's plenty for everyone. Jesus invites all of us, come, have breakfast. In the morning light of the resurrection, there is no space for guilt and fear. Jesus reminds us that in this conversation with Peter, in our gospel story this morning, we are forgiven, we are loved, and we are free. Resurrection life is alive. So come to this table. Be fed. Be nourished with God's love. My friends, we have some sheep to feed. Amen.